angels waging war in the unseen realm. Global events fulfilling biblical prophecy. Eternal life. What lies beyond mortality? From analyzing the paranormal from a biblical worldview to the discussion of cutting-edge science and technology, conspiracy, discovery, special investigative reports. Unafraid to explore the challenging issues facing humanity, welcome to another edition of Skywatch TV.
We're living in the most prophetic time since the first coming of Jesus Christ. Welcome to Skywatch TV. I'm Derek Gilbert. We're in the middle of a four-week series based on three new books from Defender Publishing. And joining us on the panel again this week, the CEO of Defender Publishing and Skywatch TV, Tom Horn.
Good to be here.
Author of one of the books we've discussed, the Pentagon Insider, and author of such books as Future War, The Deeper State, and most recently, The Alliance of Evil, Lieutenant Colonel Bob McGinnis.
Thank you, Derek.
My new book, which is a follow-up to The Great Inception, which is all about the importance of cosmic mountains or holy mountains in the long supernatural war, the new book by me, Last Clash of the Titans, and the focus of this week's discussion, the best-selling author of the book Gods and Thrones, and the pastor of Hickory Hammock Baptist Church, which we tell you just because we love the name of that church. Mm-hmm. Gods of Ground Zero, The Truth of Eden's Iniquity, Why It Still Matters, and the Mystery Surrounding What's Coming Next, Pastor Carl Gallops. Carl,
thanks.
Welcome.
Thank you, Derek. Bob,
the Ground Zero, that is a little different connotation from the discussion we had with Colonel McGinnis about the Alliance of Evil and talking about nuclear conflict, perhaps. What is the Ground Zero that you're writing about in your new
book? Thank you. It's a different connotation, but they're all tied together.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. It's just what I'm doing is I'm narrowing the focus down to the ground zero of all the ages, the spiritual ground zero, the geopolitical ground zero, and that is Israel, particularly Jerusalem, particularly the Temple Mount, Mount Zion. I mean, all of that. And then, of course, Mount of Olives. You and I were talking about that earlier, how that goes Old Testament, New Testament. It's the focal point of everything Jesus did and his ascension and his return and Zechariah talks about it, that. But the point is the gods of ground zero, gods being Elohim and that whole understanding of the divine realm, and particularly that part of the divine realm that is fallen. So the focus of the fallen realm upon Israel and Jerusalem, why is that focus there? And it is there. It's there all the way through the scriptures. It's there in the headlines of our news right now. It's there in the Alliance of Evil. It is there. And so the question I answer here, well, you know, the Bible answers it, but I've put it together. Mm-hmm. But the question I attempt to answer here from scholarly resources, scholarly research, historical, geographical, even archaeological research is in there, as well as the study of the languages and the joining together, the convergence of contextual understanding of the scriptures from the opening pages of the Bible, literally, to the closing pages of the Bible. The question I answer with this book is, why is Israel ground zero to everything? Why is Jerusalem particularly ground zero to everything? Why was it that everything that matters about our faith happened in Jerusalem? Why is it that that's where Jesus went for the last week of his life? Why is it that he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane? Why did he go to the Temple Mount for the last week? Why is it that he slept on the Mount of Olives every night that week, the Bible says? Why is it that he ascended from there? Why is it that he's coming back from there? Why is it that there's always this battle on the Temple Mount and the temple and maybe the third temple? And what's all this about? And guys, what I have discovered, and I'm not the first to discover this because the ancient Jews were writing about it. The classic conservative scholarly commentators were writing about it for hundreds of years. Modern day language experts are seeing it. It all goes back, yes, believe it or not, the Garden of Eden. And the bottom line is, I had sensed this through the years. I've been a preacher of the word for 35 years. I had sensed through the years that there was this connection. I had sensed through the years that Jerusalem probably, Israel and specifically Jerusalem, probably was somehow tied to the ancient Garden of Eden, which is now multidimensional. You've got the guarding of it, the cutting off of that actual presence of God. But, you know, even the book of Hebrews gives us that hint, because it talks about the Temple Mount, that's just a shadow of what's really there. The real thing. It's a copy. It's of what's really there. Mm-hmm. So I had sensed in all these years of preaching and teaching that somehow the Garden of Eden was deeply connected to Jerusalem itself. When I dove into the research of this and discovered all of the scholarly stuff, now I'm not talking about back channel conspiracy sites and people speculating, and I'm not pulling this out of my back pocket. I'm talking about from the ancient Hebrew scholarly works right into the classic commentators, and I'm thinking, why is nobody preaching this and teaching this? It's right there in the Word. And it's right there in what other people hundreds of years before us, thousands of years before us, have seen and understand. So I pull it together, and truly, that last chapter of Revelation, it just slapped me in the face like a wet rag when I saw it speaks of the restoration of all things. The tree of life is there. Mm-hmm. Well, where else was the tree of life? The Garden of Eden is where it started. Right. But it's there. The throne of God, what's happening? He's fellowshipping with man again. Man's fellowshipping with him. Everything has been made right. A paradise is described with trees and fruit and rivers of life and the tree of life and all of that. And then the subtitle in several of the more recent, the more modern scholarly translations, and I know subtitles that are put there, that's not the Word of God. That was not in the original manuscripts.
Right, right.
But what that means is the scholars who are translating the scriptures see these main themes. Mm-hmm. The subtitles in several scholarly translations of the scriptures, it actually has the last chapter of Revelation subtitled as The Restoration of Eden. Mm. And what is it? It's the new heaven, the new earth. So what was Eden in the first place? It's where God chose to fellowship with man on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
What happened? It was taken away from man, that direct fellowship with the throne. Why? Because of the sin in the garden. By the way, I deal with this in my book. When Jesus goes to the Garden of Eden, I mean to the Garden of Gethsemane, he kneels and he prays and he says, and I'm going to paraphrase a little bit. He says, now this time, God, not my will but yours. Mm-hmm. The exact opposite of what happened in the Garden of Eden.
Ah, yes, yes.
Where Satan and Adam and Eve says, not your will but mm-hmm. ours. This time, Satan.
And in Isaiah 14,
Jesus,
where the rebel is basically said, I will.
To the mount. Ascend to the throne of the Most High God. Ezekiel 28, you were on the Mount of Assembly. You were the guardian cherub, but I cast you down because of the profane thing you did in the garden.
That's right.
I mean, guys, we have turned the Garden of Eden into a little caricature, a children's cartoon, a children's bedtime story. And I'm convinced it's written in the metaphorical terms in which it's written. Now, listen, when I say that, I want people to know, there was a real Garden of Eden. There was a real Adam, a real Eve, a real Satan, a real temptation, a real sin. When I say metaphorical, I don't mean the whole thing is just a little story or a simile. I'm saying that the terms of it wasn't a snake handing an apple. Wasn't a talking, walking snake handing an apple to Eve.
Okay? Mm-hmm.
The Bible clears that up as you move through the scriptures. But the point being that when that happened, that closed off man's physical, literal fellowship with the throne of God, his mm-hmm. creator. And now we have the spiritual relationship, which has been restored through Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit gives us access to that throne through prayer and relationship, but it is our promise of what is to come, the seal. We're sealed with that promise of what is to come. But then as we continue to move through the scriptures, we see at the restoration of all things that there is, that dimension is opened again, and the real garden is restored and the real throne is there and we really have access to our creator in a very real personal sense. We will really, Paul says, don't you know you will judge the angels mm-hmm, in the mm-hmm. end of it? Don't you know you will judge the nations? John said in the book of Revelation, don't you know you will sit on thrones? You will rule and reign with God. This is real stuff. Like what Jesus told the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise, son. Today, you will be, the sense of being, with me in paradise. Where did he take the thief on the cross that day? By the way, where were they? They're in downtown Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
Where
mm-hmm.
did he take him? Through the dimension, through the veil, into the real paradise, the real Garden of Eden. Now, here's what's interesting about that. That word paradise, do you know? I tell people when I'm talking about this book, I say, did you know that Jesus mentioned the Garden of Eden on the cross? And people say, what are you talking about? Yes, he did. When he said to the thief, today you will be with me in paradise. Look that word up okay. in the Greek. Go to all the Greek lexicons. Every one of them say, in the Hebrew mind, they understood this to mean the Garden of Eden. Every one of them say it.
Wow.
So we're reading, see, we got to remember, we're reading our scriptures in our language, in the English. But it's being translated from Greek, but that's being translated from the Hebrew mind. So you're going through three translations. We read it. Today you'll be with me in paradise. Again, a little children's story comes to mind.
Yeah.
He's going to go to paradise.
On cloud with wings and playing a harp.
No, Jesus just said, in just a few minutes, there's going to be a parting. There's going to be a portal opened. And we're going, you know where those cherubim have been guarding? Yeah, that portal's going to be opened, and you're going to be in the Garden of Eden with me. You're going to be there. And by the way, we're just kind of right there on that soil right now anyway, but we're going to be there in just a few seconds because you have called me Lord. You see,
wow,
the gods of grounds. So when my pre-readers, is that what you call them? What do you call them? Your proofreader?
Proofreaders.
The people that just read the first manuscripts that you guys gave me permission to send that out to people just to read it. When they read that, I got several guys that wrote back and said, this explains everything. This explains, I now see, why is the whole world so infatuated with Israel? Either love it or hate it. Most of them hate it.
Yeah.
And hate its existence. They're occupiers. Why is the whole world infatuated with Jerusalem and conquering it, capturing it? You know, the American Embassy Act, Jerusalem the capital. Most of the world went out of their ever-loving minds.
Oh, yeah.
They were furious. Why is it? Who would care? Who would care? The whole world cares. Always has. Why? Because it goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. That's my brief introduction.
One of the things that we'll show you in the little travelogue that Sharon and I put together from our trip to Israel and Jordan is some of the sites that we saw on and around the day that things were happening there. I mean, on the day they put up the official sign that said American Embassy this way in Jerusalem, we got to take a picture of that.
When you went to the old city, when you stood on the Mount of Olives and looked down, could you not... I mean, I don't want to put words in your mouth. If you couldn't just
powerful.
Say so.
It was could powerful.
Could you not feel the spiritual electricity in the air?
Oh, yeah.
I'm convinced it's because that is ground zero.
Looking down from there through the Eastern Gate, which blocked up now, but will be open again someday.
The demonic realm and the angelic realm war over that spot continually, and the powers of the thrones of the earth war over that spot continually and will to the very end.
The new book by Pastor Carl Gallups is Gods of Ground Zero, one of the three books we're talking about from Defender Publishing during this series of programs. Now, we've identified Ground Zero. Who are the gods that we're talking about? That question when Skywatch TV continues after this.
From the Garden of Eden to our current day, dark Luciferian entities have worked to destroy mankind, while biblical prophecy points to a soon coming war between earthly governments and a clash of colossal proportions. Dr. Thomas Horn says you cannot understand much of the Bible unless you read and grasp the revelations in the Gods of War Super Collection. For your $35 donation during this very limited time offer, you'll receive The Alliance of Evil, the groundbreaking new book by Pentagon analyst Lieutenant Colonel Robert McGinnis, which unveils the prophetic new dual Cold War between the U.S., Russia, and China unfolding across the global spectrum now. The Gods of Ground Zero, that explains the supernatural forces operating behind current global events. And The Last Clash of the Titans, which analyzes the most overlooked prophecies in the Bible and explains how Jesus Christ himself will soon go to war against the gods of antiquity. But with this three-volume critical collection, you'll also receive completely free of charge the brand new, never-before-released, full-length DVD, War of the Gods. Volume 1, Search for the Titans. Walk one-on-one with your personal guides, Derek and Sharon Gilbert, through a tour of the Holy Land, including Shiloh, Bethel, and Mount Hermon. You will see where the final battle between God and the rebel angels will take place. And you'll explore for yourself Sardinia's megalithic tombs of the giants, their connection to the ancient Canaanites, and the final battle. And that's not all. You'll also receive, for a very limited time, the best of the first annual Blessed Hope Prophecy Conference on DVD. This two-disc DVD collection is jam-packed with over 11 hours of mind-boggling revelations from presenters like Dr. Thomas R. Horn on deep state saboteurs and the secret destiny of America, Sharon Gilbert on the return of the ancients through pharmakia, necromancy, and virtual reality, Lieutenant Colonel Robert McGinnis on the inside war against President Trump by elite secret societies, and unforgettable presentations from celebrated theologian Dr. Michael Lake, Derek P. Gilbert, Josh Peck, and more. But we're still not done. Skywatch TV's Off the Record series is back by popular demand with a brand new, never-before-aired DVD, The Gods of War Edition, featuring exclusive interviews with Detective Carl Gallops, Senior Pentagon Analyst Robert McGinnis, Derek and Sharon Gilbert on the coming hyper-battle between the forces of God and the titans of biblical prophecy. This content is only available in this exclusive offer and will not be aired anywhere else. Included for a limited time with the Gods of War Super Collection. This unprecedented collection, sold separately, holds a retail value of $220. All six items, yours now for your donation of only $35 plus shipping and handling. This, without a doubt, is the largest special offer of the summer and is available only while supplies last. So don't delay. The Gods of War Super Collection, available now at SkywatchTVStore.com. Order online or call 1-844-750-4985.
Welcome back to Skywatch TV. I'm Derek Gilbert. Please take advantage of the exclusive programming available from Skywatch TV, our web exclusive interviews and content, weekly programs such as Sci Friday, Into the Multiverse, Chalk Talk, daily news updates. You get those only from SkywatchTV.com, the Skywatch TV channels on Roku and Apple TV, and the Skywatch TV mobile app, which is a free download for iOS, Android, Windows Phone, and Amazon Kindle Fire tablets. Again, all of that linked at the website, SkywatchTV.com. The panel this week: Tom Horn, Lieutenant Colonel Bob McGinnis, and the author of the book, the focus of this program, Gods of Ground Zero, Pastor Carl Gallops. Carl, the gods of Ground Zero. We've identified Ground Zero in the first half of the program. Now, who are these gods of which you speak? As a Christian, I mean, we've been taught there's only one.
Yeah, thank you. Well, you know, my first book dealing with this topic was called Gods and Thrones. Mm-hmm. And so I want our viewers to know that this is a sequel to that book. However, you do not have to have necessarily read the first book in order to get this book, because out of the 40 chapters, and don't let that scare you, I mean, each chapter is about 5 or 6 pages long, but out of the 40 chapters in that book, there are 4 or 5 where I review material from the first book. Now, it's not just a repeat, because I bring new stuff and new insight, but I review it and I answer those questions. So thank you for asking me that question, because that's a big thing you got to deal with right up front. I mean, before you go into the book, I mean, after all, the title says Gods of Ground Zero, and Thrones. So it comes from the Hebrew word, as a lot of your viewers will know, because Michael Heiser and Gods and Thrones and his book, The Unseen Realm, and we've talked about this a lot. Mm-hmm. But it comes from that Hebrew word Elohim, the very first definition of God we hear. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. And I use the illustration that that word can be either singular or plural, depending upon the surrounding words and the verbs attached and the qualifiers. For example, we use the word deer or buffalo. Those are two quick examples. Look at the deer. I see one deer, or do I see a herd of deer?
Yeah, sheep.
Yeah. Or if I just scream, buffalo, what does your mind see? A herd coming at you or a buffalo standing peeking around the corner? Mm-hmm. It depends. We need to know more before we know if it's a herd or a person. I mean, a singular one. So same thing with Elohim. Now, when it's used in the singular, it's always used for the Elohim of Elohims, capital E, God, Yahweh. It's always used of Creator God. He said, Well, if it's used in the plural, what's it speaking? It's speaking of the divine realm. God's created beings of the divine realm. Well, but why would God call them after himself? Same reason we name our children after our family names, or sometimes junior or the third, or, you know, because in Ephesians, it says in chapter 3, and I'm going to have to paraphrase, but in Ephesians chapter 3, it says God, who is the Father of both those in heaven and those on the earth, he says, through which we all derive our name. Mm-hmm. So that's what Elohim, little e, in the plural means. All right, now that we've got it set, that is often translated, since Elohim can be translated as God,
right,
big G, with the proper words around it, Elohim, little e, with the proper words around it in the scripture, can also be interpreted as gods, little g, with an S. And it is in the book of Psalms all the way through. Psalm 82 is one of the most popular now, or most well-known, but it's all through the Psalms. And it's in Deuteronomy. It's in other places in the scriptures as well.
Right, right.
And so what are we talking about? We're talking about the angelic realm, the unseen realm, the divine realm, and most specifically, oftentimes, we're talking about the fallen realm under Satan's command. Why are the first two of the Ten Commandments focused on that? Thou shalt have no other fairy tales before me.
Yeah, yeah.
Thou shalt
imaginary
have
friends.
No other imaginary friends before me. Thou shalt not have any other Elohim before me.
Right.
And then he says, don't even carve graven images. Don't make altars to them. Well, you say, well, what difference does it make an Asherah pole? It has no power. No, it doesn't, in the same way that the tent of meeting or the temple itself as a building had no power, but it was God's meeting place with his people. Therefore, the power was there because God, who is the power, promised, I will be there. You come here. You prepare yourself to enter this place. I will meet with you here. Well, guess what Satan does? He copies that. He counterfeits that. The demonic realm. Build me an altar. Build me a pole. Build me a little temple, the temple of Baal. Build me something, and you gather up. I'll meet with you there. God knew that. See, the power's real. The gods, little g, are real. If they want to disguise themselves as fat little Greek babies playing harps, or if they want to disguise themselves as Zeus or Apollo or the Titans or whatever, it's a masquerade ball. Satan's the master of deception and disguise. That's what all of this is about. And so that's what gods mean. The gods of Ground Zero, I'm talking about the demonic forces that are focusing in on Israel, Jerusalem, God's, the apple of God's eye, the center of all the nations, as well as the angelic realm that do God's bidding. There is spiritual warfare going on, and we're watching it being fleshed out in the evil alliances and the clash of the Titans, the return of the Titans. We're watching it right before our eyes.
And I think one of the most extraordinary things about your book is that you go back to Eden, you talk about what did happen there, you talk about the Elohim, you talk about some stuff with the tree.
Yes.
And I've only learned since it's actually very scholarly work.
Thank you.
I had never even heard of it before. I pastored 25 years. Fabulous revelations.
Yeah.
But it's not all about the past. You also talk about why it's relevant today.
Yes.
And then why it's going to be relevant in the future. And it's kind of the crossover path between what you and Derek have written is that we are moving towards a moment in time that probably most viewers don't know, that Bible prophecy depicts the second coming of Jesus Christ being preceded by a war between Jesus and these gods of antiquity.
Yes.
Which is an astonishing idea. In fact, the prophet says that he will be terrible unto the gods.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yeah, and you can. And if people have a hard time saying that, you can just say, unto the demonic realm. The battle is against the demonic realm of antiquity.
Mm-hmm.
But truly, you're right. The word is Elohim, so we can say against the gods of antiquity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And because of the idols, whether it was Greek idols, Egyptian idols,
they call
whatever.
Them gods.
Right. Well, and Paul makes it clear in the New Testament that when you worship these idols, you are worshiping demons.
He does.
So there is a living essence that attaches itself to whatever the center of your focus, your worship,
absolutely right.
Your adoration is.
Pastor Carl, I have a question as a student.
Thank you.
Abram was called out of Ur of Chaldees. That's what I understand is southern Iraq today.
It is.
Abram ventured up to Haran, eventually down basically east of the present-day Jerusalem.
Correct.
He called Abram to take his son, Isaac, up to this mount that eventually became Jerusalem.
I have several chapters in my book on this. So
and he told him to sacrifice him.
Yes.
Now, why was that chosen as ground zero?
Thank you. Yeah. Well, because, you've raised several issues. Why was it chosen as ground zero? Because for whatever reason, that was the center of God's eye when he formed the earth. That's where he put Eden, the meeting place for the divine realm, the divine council that would govern the affairs of the earth or of his creation until he created man to be the assistants with the divine council. They would govern the affairs of the physical realm, the earth, and that's where the fellowship was going to be. But what botched the whole thing up was Satan, who came from the divine realm, who came from the divine council. What botched the whole thing up, he looked upon that and lusted after it. He was jealous. He was covetous, which, by the way, Satan broke all 10 of the commandments in the garden. I've got a whole chapter on that. Adam and Eve broke them with him in the garden, which the 10 commandments are in stone as a testimony against Satan until the end of days. Hmm. And that's our sin nature comes from Satan. Jesus says, he's your daddy. I got a chapter called Who's Your Daddy?
Who's Your Daddy?
And if it's not Jesus, it's Satan. And Jesus says that. He said, if it's not Elohim Big E, your daddy is Satan. Hmm. Over and over, Jesus says that. But that's why God chose that, Colonel McGinnis. Now, that whole thing of Abraham and his son, he lays the wood on his son's back for a three-day journey in which that son is dead to him in his mind because he's going to sacrifice him. He watches that, takes him up to sacrifice him, but then his son is returned to him on the third day alive.
Mm-hmm.
And then Abraham says, now God has shown me on this mountain, he will be the lamb. Mm-hmm. He will provide the ultimate lamb. And that where did that happen? Ground zero, mm-hmm. somewhere around Jerusalem.
I've seen scholarly research that indicates there are good reasons to believe that the name Moriah is actually a corruption of the original name Mountain of the Amorites.
Yeah.
Genesis 15, when God made his covenant with Abraham, he said, your descendants will go and spend hundreds of years in a land not their own because the iniquity of the Amorites mm-hmm. is not yet complete.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And that's what...
And the way the word is used now is interesting in conjunction with that, because in Hebrew it means to see God or to be seen of God. And on Calvary's cross, we saw God in the flesh. You will look upon me whom you have pierced, but you will mourn for him as an only son. And on Calvary's cross, God saw us.
And before he was sacrificed, he went up onto Mount Hermon, mm-hmm. where the
sure
angels had come down. That's where he's transfigured. He's sending a message to those gods with the lower
yep.
G, right?
Yep.
And then a few days later, he goes to the original location of Eden, goes down into the underworld, dies, goes into the underworld. What does it say that he does there? He presents himself to the spirits that are in prison, the offspring yep. of the watchers, the dead giants, basically, mm-hmm. and presents himself as the fulfillment of overturning the curse that
right.
came upon the earth as a result yeah. of the fallen watchers, and then rises from the dead there, and the graves of the dead are opened up, right?
Yeah, and then he spends 40 days on the face of the earth doing this to Satan.
Right.
I won. 40
right.
days, the number of judgment.
Yeah. Well, true, and the Bible says that if the princes of this world would have understood
yes.
what was going to happen,
they would never crucify
the Lord
it.
Of glory.
Yeah.
And that three-day period, we'll talk about that in our next program, because that is another reversal of rituals that were performed by the pagans for at least 2,000 years before Jesus. So this is why I enjoy talking to these guys so much, and I hope you're enjoying it too.
You.
Pastor Carl Gallups, Colonel Bob McGinnis, Tom Horn, I'm Derek Gilbert, and this is Skywatch TV.